Okay. So let's play a game. You guys like it when we play games, right? Let's play a game. I am going to base this talk on a very old poem. And I think it's one you might all be familiar with. I'm going to say one line and you say the next line. Ready? Mary had a little lamb. And everywhere that Mary went,
the lamb was sure to go.
It followed her to school one day, which was against the rule. It made the children laugh and play to see a lamb at school. See? Everybody knows that poem. Do you know that poem was written in 1815? 1815, and it's still going strong today. Like every one of us knows it. But did you also know that it is based on a true story? It is. There was a little girl. She was born in 1806 in Massachusetts. And when she was 9 years old, she helped her father in the barn take care of the animals. And one day, a sheep, a ewe, gave birth to two little lambs. The mother rejected one of the lambs. I don't know why. They do sometimes. Maybe two is too many. You know, one is, if you've been a mom, two is a lot, okay? One is a lot. So the one lamb was thriving because it was being fed and it was being cared for, but the other lamb was in very much distress. And Mary wanted to help. And her father said, "I'm afraid it's too late. There's really nothing we can do." And Mary cried and begged and said, "Please, please, please let me help this lamb. I cannot watch it die." So little Mary, 9 years old, took the lamb into her arms, into the house, warmed it by the fire, held it and petted it all night, fed it as much as she could, the milk. And it was a miracle that the lamb lived. And this little lamb grew up to adore Mary. It followed her everywhere. It knew her voice. I think it like imprinted on Mary like this was its mother, right? So one day, as the lamb was leaping around and Mary was set off to go to school, it tried to follow Mary to school. And Mary's like, "No, no, you can't go to school. It's against the rules. No, no." Mary is very prim and proper and wanted to follow the rules. But her little brother said, "I got an idea. Let's take the lamb to school." So they bundled it up in a blanket, and she hid the little lamb under her desk. And she thought, "Okay, I'm going to get away with it because the lamb will just sleep." And as long as she was sitting at the desk, the lamb was just fine. But the teacher, and we know all the names of these people, everything is documented. This is a true story. It's amazing. The teacher called Mary up to recite something. Well, the lamb heard Mary's voice and perked up and went running up to the podium for Mary. And the kids, of course, were hilarious. They thought it was hilarious to see this lamb running around the classroom. And the teacher's like, "Mary, Mary, I'm sorry, you're going to have to put the lamb outside." So they put it outside until school was done. And everybody thought, okay, well, that's the end of it. Mary takes the lamb home and we have a nice story to tell at dinner time. That's it. But no, inside the classroom was the minister's son who was visiting his dad, his uncle, the minister. He saw all of this going on, and he wrote this little poem. He just scribbled it on a piece of paper. "Mary had a little lamb at sleep." Those two stanzas that we just did. And he gave it to Mary, and he said, "You know, this is from me. It's a little poem for you. I thought it was delightful. It's something I'll always remember." Mary loved it. She just loved it. But the poem started catching on. And the poem found its way to this children's author who put it in a book of poems. She expanded it to be now 5 stanzas. She put the original 2 and then 3 of her own, and she expanded it to be 5. And then that it became a thing, right? Like everybody knew about this cute little thing. And it included them. It went into the Mother Goose collections and it became a classic children's tale. And Thomas Edison, when he invented the phonograph, he had to have something to record. What did he record? He recorded Mary Had a Little Lamb. So this is history now. This is history. And we all know from a spiritual standpoint that nothing happens for an accident. Nothing is a coincidence. Everything has purpose to it, right? So think of it this way. Mary, who is the most famous Mary of all? The Holy Mother, Jesus' mother. Mary has a little lamb. She doesn't have a goat. She doesn't have a hedgehog. She doesn't, you know, have a goose. She has a little lamb. What does lamb represent? Innocence, purity, you know, and compassion. And this little girl who was so wise beyond her years at 9 years old, Mary, had such compassion for this little, innocent, pure creature that her love saved its life. And in return, that lamb gave her immortality. Is that not the truth? She is immortal. And she lived to be 86 years old, and she didn't talk about her story very much until the very end when she was really kind of proud of it, and she was saying, yes, I'm the Mary that had a little lamb, and she would sign little note cards with the poem on it and include a piece, a little strand of wool, because her mother used to take the lamb's wool and make socks for her. And she saved those, and she had strands of the wool from the real lamb. Now, this just touches my heart, because think of all the things that had to line up for every piece of this to go together, right? The brother had to encourage her to take the lamb to school when she didn't want to. You know, the dad had to allow her to save the lamb. The, you know, everything had to happen. The student had to be there recording. It came out of his mind, out of his heart, to write down those first few stanzas. And then it had to make it its way into this book. And then it's made its way to Thomas Edison. And here we are in 2025 talking about Mary Had a Little Lamb. And who would have thought that it was a spiritual lesson for all of us? But it is indeed. And to me, that's how God works. That just shows that God speaks in every language, that God shows us things in real life that affect us and that we can learn from. So let's think of this in take it another step further, okay? As a spiritual lesson for today. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. What follows us everywhere that we go? Our shadow, right? We go wherever we go, whatever funny way we go, there's our shadow. We can't get rid of it. It's because of the light of the sun. What is something that is also with us in this way? We can't get rid of it no matter how hard we try. The divine. God's love. We may not be aware of it like the shadow, but God is with us at all times, just like the sun is with us at all times. Even if it's on the other side of the planet, we see the sun reflected in the moon, and we know the sun is there. God is with us at all times. And sometimes we are that innocent little lamb. And we need to follow God everywhere that God goes. Because that God is going to take care of us and love us. And here is where there's no lines between us. What is the difference between us and the shadow? The shadow wouldn't exist if it weren't for us. We wouldn't exist if it weren't for God. God wouldn't exist if it weren't for us, because we are that. There are no lines between us. And when we say, all I thought was mine, it's all ours. I can't say, this is my mic, because I'm using this mic. It's mine, like I'm holding it, I'm borrowing it, I'm, you know, just like I'm borrowing this body, just like we are borrowing this building. But I'll put it down and someone else will use it. And before it was here, it was at some store, I assume, and it was their mic, or it was at some manufacturer's office and it was their mic, or it was in the mind of some person who knew how to make these things, who had this idea, and we can trace it all the way back to maybe like Thomas Edison. Okay? This is Thomas Edison's mic. It's all of ours. There are no lines between us. We share this soul. We are individuated in our individual bodies. But how is my body any different than yours? It's not. We all have a heart. We all have a lungs. We all have kidneys. We all have legs. We all have eyes. We can relate to each other because we are living the same life. We were all born into a body. We will all die out of a body. This is it. There are no lines between us. It's just like in the song, it says, now I see I'm in this ocean you've designed. This ocean that God has designed, that we are all in. We are all waves in the ocean. We are all drops of water in the sea. There are shells. There are fish. There are millions of kind of fish and plants and everything. We are in this air. The air is like the ocean around us. We breathe the same air. We share the same sun. This is all. There are no lines between us. In the song, I say that border lines are made of on maps and minds. They're imaginary, these lines. There's no lines between us. There's no such thing. We are here. This air between us is temporary. It's imaginary. It's here for the purpose of us learning. I like to use the analogy of soup. It's like a soup. What happens with a soup? You have broth. And you put in the vegetables, you put in the seasoning, you put in all this stuff. And you let it cook, and you let it cook. And at a certain point, when the soup is done, you take out a potato. What is in that potato? The broth, the seasoning, the everything. What is in the broth and the seasoning? The potato. There's no more lines. It's a soup. Whether you blend it up or not, whether it looks separate or not, it's one thing now. It's one thing. This is where the song Ambrosia comes in, why I picked Ambrosia. Ambrosia is the same thing. It's like a soup. It's made up of all these sweet things. Coconut and orange and cream and yogurt and sugar and, I mean, all this stuff. And it's all sweet. But when you taste it, can you say, oh, that's a marshmallow, or oh, that's an orange? No, because it's all together. Those flavors in your mouth, it's all sweet. And that's what the experience of the divine is. It's all sweet. And once we taste it, we know. We just know. That's what we want. That's what's important. Okay, I'm watching the time here because I always have too much to talk about. Okay. Tomorrow, Monday, I'm going to go see Wicked Part 2. Okay, you guys know how much I love Wicked, right? Okay, you know I'm going to have so much to talk about. I'm going to save all this stuff. This is like behind-the-scenes stuff about the show and the archetypes and everything. But the whole theme of Wicked is that these two women, Glinda the Good Witch and Elphaba the Wicked Witch, are two sides of the same coin. They are each other. We are each other. And how do we experience all of that? Knowing that there is no good, there is no bad, it just all is. It's through integration. Integration is very important. And like Pamela was saying with our political climate right now, what we need is integration. Because when you get down to brass tacks, the very granular stuff, we all want the same thing. We all want freedom. We all want food. We all want health care. It's just some people have different ways of thinking or getting there or approaching it, and we need to understand each other. Okay, so let me see. I don't know how to wrap this up because it's time to wrap it up. There's so much I have to say. But here on Earth, we need to know that it takes every single one of us. Everyone is here for a reason. Everyone is here for a purpose. Everyone has a gift. Everyone, every single one matters and is so important in the scheme of things. We can see examples of this. The Dodgers are an example of this. They have a very international team. Very talented team. But what I keep hearing is what made them win the World Series for the second time. What was different about that team over another team? Their team spirit, their belief in themselves, in each other, the team work. They work together as a team. Even their star, Shohei Ohtani, he could be like, hey, I'm the guy, I'm the highest paid guy or whatever. No. Do you know what he does? He's one of the guys who cleans out the dugout at the end of the game. It's part of the Japanese culture. Respectful. Respects every single one of his teammates. Doesn't say, hey, you know, you clean up after me, I'm earning more money, or I won the game, or I hit the home run, or whatever. No, it's respect. We need to have respect for each other, consideration for each other. Compassion is what it all comes back to. Like Mary, when we have that compassion, everything else falls into place. It's bigger than all of us. So here's our prayer. Divine Spirit, Holy Mother, universal energy, all that is divine and beautiful, show me where I need to go. Tell me what I need to know. And give me the seeds I need to sow. Om Tat Sat, and so it is. Amen.